We're going to look at the same story that we looked at this morning, but we're going to look at it from a different perspective. This morning, I didn't have Adam put my title in the bulletin this morning, because it wasn't until about 12:30 last night that the Lord finally said, okay, this is what I want you to preach. And so, but my title this morning was just one word: arise, arise. And we looked at the story that's in Mark chapter 2 from the perspective of the man that was healed, the man that was sick of the palsy, the man that was paralyzed. Tonight, my title is Born of Four, comes from verse 3, the last phrase, which was born of four. And I want to look at the story from the perspective of the four men that brought the man that was sick of palsy to Jesus. You know, we started reading in verse 1, and the Bible says, and again he entered Capernaum. Jesus had been to this city before. In fact, some of the things that he had done in Capernaum on his first visit is recorded in Mark chapter 1. I believe it was outside the city on the beaches of the Sea of Galilee that he called at least four of his disciples. Peter and Andrew, James, and John. And that's recorded in chapter 1 of Mark. In chapter 1, we read where he taught in the synagogue at Capernaum. And the Bible says that they were astonished at his doctrine, because he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes, their normal teachers. It was there in the synagogue that he encountered a man that had an unclean spirit. And the Bible says that he rebuked that unclean spirit and told him to come out of the man. And again, the Bible says, and they were all amazed at what they saw. In Mark chapter 1, we read about Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. And then in verse 34, it says, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils. And so I think people were still talking about what Jesus had done the first time that he had come to Capernaum. I think they were abuzz all about it. And when they heard that he had come back, and again, I don't know how long he was gone, maybe a week, maybe a few days, but when he'd heard that he was back, as it says in verse 2, straightway many were gathered together. And by the way, these are not my points yet. I'll tell you when I get to my points. I just want to point out a couple of things before I get there. But I'll just remind you tonight that Jesus always drew a crowd. And the same thing is true today. Jesus will draw a crowd. He had to work to find time alone. Many times in the Bible, we read about him getting up early in the morning and going into the mountains to pray by himself. Or other times after the day had ended. I remember that time in the Bible where he'd fed the 5,000, and he told his disciples that he would send away the crowd, and they got into a boat and began to cross the Sea of Galilee, and the Bible says he went up into the mountain to pray. But it's Jesus that draws the crowd. It's him that people want to see and be around and hear from. And just as true as it was back then when he walked the face of the earth, it's just as true today. Jesus will draw people. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And I had a lady ask me this morning, a lady that I have known in the past. She's not a member of our church, been here a couple of times. She just came up to me and says, why is the church growing? Why is this happening? And I said, well, we're just lifting up Jesus. And he is drawing the people. I mean, it's not us. I mean, as Jesus lives through, the other thing I told her, I said, we have a heart for people, and we have a heart for people because Jesus has given us that heart for people. And so I'll just tell you tonight, it's not a fancy fellowship hall. It's not a beautiful auditorium. It's not an ignorant preacher that draws people. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that draws people to this place. And we better not forget it, that it's him that draws people to this place, not us. And I'm so glad that he's the one that does it. And then it says there in the end of verse 2, and he preached the word unto them. And I thought about this afternoon as I was finishing up my notes. Here we have the word preaching the word. The word as described in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was a preacher on this earth, he did the same thing that all preachers ought to do today. They ought to preach the word of God. People don't need a current events report. They don't need a book report. They don't need politics when they come to church, nor do they need to hear the preacher's opinion. What they need is the word of God. And when Jesus was here, he preached it. Like Paul told his son in the ministry, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, and with all long suffering. And so the word of God, preaching the word of God. And then we come to verse 3. And verse 3 is the subject of my message tonight. Where it says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. I don't know if these four men were friends or acquaintances or pure strangers to this man that was sick of the palsy. I don't know their names. I don't know how old they were. I don't know their occupation. I don't know if this was something they planned or if this was something that just spontaneously came to their mind. Jesus is back in town. Let's go get that man that's sick of the palsy and take him to Jesus. I don't know that. I do know they had faith. I do know they had faith that said, let's just get this one to Jesus and Jesus can help him. I just knew they had faith that said, we're going to do it regardless of what it costs. I know that they had faith that Jesus could see. Because it says, when Jesus saw their faith, in verse 5 as we read it, he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I remember preaching on this text a long time ago. And Brother Leonard came up to me and said, preacher, did you ever think about whose house that was? He and I think about these things. You know, these small points of the Bible. He said, do you ever think about whose house that it was that they were on the top of tearing the roof off? And I said, no, Brother Leonard, I never thought about that. And he said, I think it was Peter's. And he said, don't you think he was just mad as a hornet that these four guys were up there tearing his roof apart? And I got to thinking about it a little bit, and I said, yeah, I agree. I think it was Peter's. I mean, you know, in chapter 1, he went into Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law, and I think it could have very well been Peter's house, and I can just see it in my mind, you know, as dust starts to fall from the ceiling, as these four guys are up on the roof, tearing a hole in the roof. I can see Peter, you know, leaving the crowd, making his way up to top of the roof and getting a little bit indignant as Peter could sometimes and saying, hey, what are you guys doing? This is my roof. You're going to pay for this. You're going to fix it. I'm not going to let you leave until you put it back together. And I can just see it in my mind that Peter doing that. But tonight, I have 6 points. And I'm to my points now, so you can start counting. I have 6 points that I think we can that we can glean from from these four men. So here we go. Number one, everybody knows somebody that's hurting. Everybody knows somebody that's hurting. It was obvious that this man that was born of four was hurting. The Bible says he was sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed. And you could tell by looking at him that he was hurting. The same thing is true of some people today. It's easy to see their hurt. You can see it in their body. You can see it in their face. You can hear it in their words. For others, it's not so obvious. You have to look closely. You have to listen intently. But everybody knows somebody that has a heartache, has a sorrow, suffered a tragedy, or hurts in some way. I was talking to another lady after the service this morning, and she said that she was sitting down, and somebody came in and sat down beside her, somebody she'd never seen before, somebody she had not met, somebody she did not know who it was. In just a few minutes, this lady that was sitting beside her shared her story with her about losing a niece, and that her nephew was dying of the same thing that her niece died, and the nephew had small children, and this aunt thought that she might be called upon to raise the children if her nephew passed away. And as she was telling the story, she began to weep, and this lady was passing her Kleenex and trying to encourage her in the Lord. And before it was all over, they were hugging each other. And again, I just use that as an example. There are hurting people all around us. All around us. And we need to notice. We need to notice. Everybody knows somebody that's hurting. Number two, Jesus can help them. Jesus can help hurting people. I think these four men knew that beyond a shadow of a doubt. There was no hesitation, there was no doubt in their mind that Jesus could help this paralyzed man. Maybe they were there in Capernaum and saw some of the miracles that he did the first time. Maybe they'd only heard about the miracles that he'd done the first time. But they knew as well as they knew anything else that if they got this man that was sick of the palsy to Jesus, Jesus could help him. You know, I think sometimes we lose sight of the power of God. I just want to remind you tonight, there is no hurt so bad that Jesus can't help. There is no heartache so big that he can't heal. There is no problem so complex or no situation so unique that Jesus doesn't have the answer to. There is no sinner so lost that Jesus can't save. And these men knew that if they could get this man that was paralyzed to Christ, Jesus could help. Hey, he spoke the word. This Jesus that we're talking about spoke the world into existence. I mean, he was there in the beginning with God, and all things were created by him, by his word. Tells us in the book of Colossians that today he holds everything together. They are sustained by him. And I just want to remind you tonight, there is nothing, 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 nothing too big for God. Nothing. You got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. And these men knew that if they could get this man to Jesus, Jesus could help them. Number three, we need to get him to Jesus. The people that are in our life that are hurting, we need to get them to Jesus. You see, faith is not enough. These men believed Jesus could help. I mean, they believed it so much that when Jesus saw their faces peeking in over the hole in the roof, the Bible says he saw their faith. I mean, they had enough faith that Jesus could help this man if they brought him, and Jesus could see that faith. But the Bible says that faith without works is dead. Until they acted on that faith and brought that man to Christ, nothing changed. Just think of the blessed story that we would miss in Mark chapter 2 if they hadn't put works with their faith. It wasn't enough they believed that Jesus could do it. It wasn't enough that there was nothing too hard for Christ. They had to act on that faith, and they had to pick up that man and bring him to Jesus, and Jesus helped him. And so we got to get people to Jesus. I don't know, as I mentioned this morning, what the man sick of the palsy thought about Christ. I don't know if he'd heard about Jesus. I don't know if he'd heard about what Jesus had done the last time that he was in Capernaum. I don't know if he had any faith. I just don't know. But I do know, as I said this morning, that the few moments he spent at the feet of Jesus changed his life. It changed his life. And Jesus can do the same thing today. When people come in contact with our Savior, things changed. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. We sing the song, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. When you spend a few moments at the feet of Christ, you get up and you're different. You get up and you're changed. And so everybody knows somebody that's hurting. Jesus can help them. We need to get those hurting people to Christ. Number four, sometimes it's hard. Have you ever tried to carry somebody on a pallet? It's dead weight. It's dead weight. It's heavy. You get tired fast. I don't know how far they had to go. I don't know if the man sick of the palsy was willing to go. I do know it wasn't easy. I do know they might have even run the risk of offending this man, his family, or their other friends. But to them, it didn't matter. You know, sometimes we worry too much about what people think. Sometimes we worry too much about offending somebody. I believe there will be people in heaven that say, when we see him, thank you for not giving up on me. When I told you to go away, when I cursed at you, when I slammed the door in your face and said, just leave me out of your religion, thank you for not giving up. Thank you for coming back and coming back and coming back. And in the same way, I think if we're not careful, there will be people in hell that will say, why did you give up on me so easy? Why did you go away when I told you I didn't want anything to do with your God? Why did you go away when I said those unkind things about you? Why did you quit? It'll be sometimes hard. That's why God asked you to do it. Number five, there will be obstacles. They got to the house where Jesus was and it was crowded. No one would let them through. It would have been easy for them to say when they got to the outskirts of the crowd, well, it's not meant to be. Maybe some other day, but not today. One of them might have said, well, what about the window? And they might have went around to the window and there were crowds standing outside the window and they would say the same thing, just like there's no room around the door. There's no room around the window. And one of them pipes up and says, well, what about the roof? And I can hear the conversation going on between these four men. Well, what about it? What do you mean, what about the roof? Well, we can go up there and tear a hole in the roof and let them down through a hole. And then I can hear somebody else saying, are you crazy? Don't you know whose house this is? Brother Leonard, this is Peter's house. You know what he's going to do if we start tearing a hole in his roof? I mean, you know how mad he's going to be? You know how upset he's going to be? And then, just like it, you ever try to carry somebody on a pallet? Do you ever try to climb steps carrying somebody on a pallet? I mean, the pictures I've seen, the staircases to the roofs were very narrow. I mean, they were just wide enough for one person. So how do four guys, each carrying the corner of a pallet, get up a narrow flight of steps carrying this dead weight? I mean, there were obstacles. They squeezed up the steps the best they could. So they got to the roof, and they said, okay, what are we going to use to tear a hole in the roof? I mean, I didn't put my hatchet in my pocket when we left this morning. We don't have a crowbar. What are we going to use to tear a hole in the roof? hey, we got these built-in tools. And so I think they started with their fingers tearing pieces off the roof. And I mentioned this morning that maybe one of them had brought some rope, and I thought about this afternoon. I don't think they had any rope. I think they got the hole torn in the roof, and one of them said, well, what are we going to let them down with? And somebody else said, well, tear off a piece of your robe. Tear off a piece of my robe. This is my best robe. What do you mean tear off a piece? Tear off a piece of your robe. We're going to make rope out of your robe and let this man down at the feet of Jesus. You see, when you try to bring hurting people to Christ, Satan is not going to like it. And he will throw every obstacle that he can think of in your way to try to discourage you, try to get you to quit, try to get you to say, hey, it's not meant today, maybe another day, but not today. And Satan will do everything he can to stop you. But number six, if you persevere, you will see things that you never saw before. It says in verse 12, and immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. When people saw what had happened, they said, man, we have never seen this before. We have never seen anything like this happen before. It is amazing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at what Jesus just did. I spoke this morning how the life of this one sick of the palsy was changed. And I think about how these four men that brought this one sick of the palsy to Christ, how their life must have been changed. You know, I can just see them in my eyes. You know, they're peeking over the hole that they made in the roof, and they're watching what's going on with this man that they lowered at Jesus' feet. I think Jesus looked up, and I think that's when he saw their faith. And he said to the man sick of the palsy, he said, son, thy sins be forgiven. And I can just see these guys up on a roof. Amen. Boy, did you hear that? Jesus forgave his sins. Man, I am so excited. And then they peeked over the roof and said, wait. Hey, he's not done yet. Those old scribes down there, yeah, they don't think Jesus has the power to forgive sins. What's he saying? He said, so that you know that I have power to forgive sins on earth. He turned to this man that was laying on a pallet, and he said, hey, arise, get up, roll up your bed, go on home. And they looked down, and they saw that man that they'd carried up the steps, that lowered through the roof. They saw that man get to his knees, stand to his feet, roll up his bed, walk out of the house, and I can just see them up on the roof. Man, oh man, oh, did you see what Jesus did? Glory to God, amen, hallelujah. They were up there having a fit. It's a wonder one of them hadn't fallen through the hole. But they were rejoicing because they had seen something that they had never seen before. And here's what they said, I think they said, man, this is so good. Let's go find somebody else that's hurting and bring them to Jesus too and see what he does. I don't think their lives were ever the same. And I want to tell you tonight, when you help a hurting person get to Christ and you see what Jesus does in their life, you'll never be the same. Never, never, never. There's certain people all around us. They need Christ. We need to bring them. It won't be easy, and there'll be obstacles, but there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. And once you see it, you want to do it again and again and again. And you'll say, boy, how good God is. How good God is. And we do have a good God. if you're here tonight and you don't know him, let me invite you to come to him. The Bible says that we're all sinners and there's a penalty for that sin. But that God loved us so much that even when we were yet sinners, he sent Jesus to pay for the price of our sin. And if you'll ask him, he'll save you. He'll save you. Doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are. What matters is the kind of Savior that we have. And there's no sinner too big that our Christ can't save. So if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you come. You come. We'll show you in this book how to ask him to be your Savior. Most of us are Christians tonight, I know that. And I just ask you tomorrow and the next day, there'll be people that come across your path that are hurting. Maybe you haven't taken the time to notice, but they're hurting. And they need somebody to represent Christ in their life and to tell them about Jesus, about how Jesus can help them. You be that person. You be that person. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the wonderful truth that's in this book. And I pray we'd be encouraged by these four men, that their example, their lives would be an example to us. There are hurting people all around us. They need Jesus. Use us as vessels and instruments to bring them to your Son. I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they would come, receive him. I pray for Christians that you would just speak to our hearts. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.